is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's week 17 in the NFL, five games already in the books, and the dogs have been barking 5-0 against the spread for underdogs so far to kick off week 17. And we are counting down to kickoff here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we get set for the Sunday slate. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live, as always, from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And we're going to jump right in, going straight to the source, as we always do. Derek Stevens, owner and CEO here at Circa Golden Gate, the D, joining us in studio. 12 of the 14 playoff spots have been clinched, but only three divisions to this point. So still lots to play for in the games today and lots of line movement, Derek, because one game that we have been keeping tabs on is my boy JVT's Indianapolis Colts apparently getting played a good bit here this morning. What can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, we've seen a good amount of money coming in this element. How long is Phillip Rivers playing in this game? Do we know?
We don't know. Nothing has been said out loud.
Nothing has been said out loud, but everybody's saying a half. Where do you come up with a half? I don't get this.
As somebody who has like watched Shane Steichen talk about this, and I think he's playing the whole game. I think a lot of this is just reckless speculation. I mean, Steichen even said, look, I mean, we're starting him because we don't want to put Riley Leonard in a position where he is not going to be ready, prepared, all those sort of things. Why does that change a half into a game as opposed to just letting him start the game? Okay. And you know what I mean? And I think Rivers, he's also got some motivation. I believe he is a certain amount of passing yards away from passing. I believe it's either Ben Roethlisberger, whoever it is, from getting in there.
It's Big Ben. It's like 255 or something along those lines.
So he's likely not going to play next week because they're officially eliminated. My assumption would be is that they're going to give him the whole game to surpass Ben Roethlisberger because I'm assuming he's not playing next year.
I believe you.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a half. Why?
It didn't make sense to me. To answer your question, though, we've seen this earlier this week. We opened Jags at 6.5. We stayed at 6.5 for quite a while, and then we started seeing Colts money. This is effectively what happened.
Yeah.
With the Rivers thing, another layer of that I thought was interesting is yes, we've seen the number come down, the first half number go up, but Phillip Rivers passing yards everywhere I've seen hasn't moved at all. It's still like stuck right there at the 210 to 11.5 mark.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it seems like some odd speculation trying to catch. I mean, you and I got lucky. There was a game, there was a Jets game where Stormy and I were on the air, and we accurately predicted, you know, I think Justin Fields is probably getting benched here. So you should play some under on his passing yards because he's been awful. And sure enough, then he got benched at halftime. But there was at least some evidence because he was terrible. This just seems like speculation as to like, let's just bench him. I just don't think that's the case. Let me ask you about a couple of others here, Derek. Seattle and Carolina, a couple of spots got off the 7, but you guys really haven't. What's the action been like here for the Panthers today?
We've been seeing Panthers money, and we're hoping that we get a little buyback because we just don't want to get off the 7. We're trying to hang on that key number a little bit longer than others.
Sure.
How many other numbers you seeing out there?
I got about 3 or 4 6.5s right now, including South Point, who, as we know, doesn't alter the juice. Superbook also at 6.5. So there's quite a few books that have budged here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long these guys are going to be able to hang on because it's been today. It's been nothing but Panthers money. When I was up there watching the bet ticker, Panthers is at least 90% of the bets versus Seahawks. What I saw in the last hour here at Circus Sports.
Worth noting, by the way, in that game as well, came down about 20 minutes ago. Teteroa McMillan was a late add to the injury report with an illness, but he is going to go today for the Panthers. And for as many games today as we have that have playoff and seeding implications and all of that stuff, one game that a lot of people are keeping their eyes on for very different reason is the one that's going to be played out here in Vegas between the Raiders and Giants in the battle for the number one overall pick this year. What kind of movement have you seen there?
I want to jump on that in 1 second, but I want to go back to what you just said. What does that mean when someone gets designated with an illness, but don't worry, he's going to play? How do you evaluate that? When I saw this at Carolina, I was like, what are we talking about? What does this mean?
So Dr. Chow was on with Mitch and Paul earlier, and the way he described it was, it's an NFL policy that even if you think there's an iota of a modicum of a chance that this guy might miss because of this, you just have to report it. Or else you get fined and all sorts of things. So it might not even mean that he's just that sick. It's that maybe he had a small fever, whatever it is, and they just have to report it. But it sounds like he's perfectly fine to go.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better because I just didn't understand that.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, I mean, full circle, we're at the penultimate week of the season. I believe it was week one. We were all sitting here. And then right before the Saints take on the Cardinals, it's like, oh, by the way, Kyler Murray sick, remember? And then that number tanked. So, and that ultimately didn't really make too much of a difference there.
So going to your question, Stormy, the game that means so much, this game, there's only two games in the late window here because, you know, all these games played out yesterday and Christmas Day. There's only two in the late window. And one is this battle for the first overall pick.
Hell yeah.
This has turned into an event now.
Yep.
Two teams that are 2-13. And it has been all New York football Giants money. The element of, I think the Max Crosby news really impacted the markets in a way where he said all the right things. He did all the right things. He did not want to be held back from the game. Originally, remember, it was just this game. And then it became a bigger issue. Okay, let's end it right now. IR. It's over. Season's over. And I think what we're seeing here is this unbelievable Raiders meltdown.
We are, but I like the – at three, I added a little Raiders late here. I think this is incredible. You know, the Giants also put six guys on IR during the week.
That's
like,
true.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just the Raiders who are doing this.
Including their left tackle and center. So good luck, Jackson Dart.
Right. So I am fascinated that the market thinks this is like a one-way thing, but ultimately we'll see. Do you think he gets a 3.5 or just 3?
This game is so volatile based upon different news and the fact that there's only two games in the late window.
Sure.
This is a game that could move quite a bit because after the early game, you know, we only have the two. There's going to be a focus on this game. Also, we even talked about Circus Survivor, but we have 9 Circus Survivors left. 8 are on the early games. There is 1 Circus Survivor who had other options but decided to take the New York football Giants.
Stop it right now.
So,
well, I mean, that's a good spot, right? Because in theory, if the other ones get eliminated and you're there that week, you could do something with that, right? With the Raiders on the other side.
So correct. Yes. I mean, this Circus Survivor islanded themselves, put them in a position. The only one that could scoop $18.7 million. Sure.
Well, they could middle that too, couldn't they? I mean, in theory, if you have the Giants and you take 3 with the Raiders and God forbid it falls on 2 and the Giants win, like that's.
So what I would say is at Circa, I would say there's a chance this number moves because we've got a couple of credit lines that are set up that are in the 7-figure range, which makes us move. Sure. That we could see a couple of pretty big hedge bets coming in at some point during the day.
And we do see year after year, and we talk about this in Circa Survivor all the time. Sometimes you're going to have to take a gross team. And when you're this late in the game, if you are taking a gross team, but in a position potentially to, like you said, be on an island, I guess why not? Because you at this point in the game, you've monetized or you're going to.
I would think out of the 9 remaining Circus Survivors, based upon my knowledge at this point and the way Jeff Benson's spoken with everyone, I believe that everyone has a strategy either they have monetized or they are monetizing. So but to think you're gonna have your entry on the line and you're gonna go all in on a road team who is 2-13 in week 17 B. It's amazing.
Wild. We also, with the Ravens result yesterday, have big implications in the Steelers Browns game. And so I'm sure that there's been some money coming in one way or the other on this one. The Ravens still could be alive with the Steelers loss in the division with the head to head decider next week in Pittsburgh. So Steelers Browns today, where have you gone?
Yeah. So what do you have?
You right guys now? Just what? Moved to 4 a couple minutes ago.
Okay. Yeah. Since I came down the elevator, we were 3.5 and then we went to 3.5 with juice. So we went to 4. That's the way it looked like it was going. With all due respect to what Shador was saying this morning. And, you know, he handled it. I think he handled his interviews very, very well this morning about talking about him versus Aaron Rodgers and what his dad did playing Aaron Rodgers. He said, listen, I'm not playing Aaron Rodgers. I'm playing the Pittsburgh defense. You know, he did everything proper, but I think the money was going to come in the Steelers. And I am not surprised we went up to a 4 because it just made sense.
I like the this is a theme of mine, I think, throughout the year. I think the most interesting game that I will fight Stormy on to put on the center screen this morning is New Orleans, Tennessee. What have you seen here? Because I know that you guys, I believe, opened 2.5, and we have seen this move in one direction right now.
Yeah. So what happened with Tennessee? We saw money throughout the week because all of a sudden now there's this new Tennessee love that's coming out that this could be the team of the back end of the 2025 season. We've seen this in a couple of years past. We saw this with Carolina. Was it last year or the year before?
Last year.
Yeah. Last year. Yep.
And Tennessee might be the team. Maybe this is the coming out of Cam Ward where we're getting to see a team that's developing, getting prepared for next year. So it's been all Tennessee pretty much in the last 72 hours.
We talked about it on Money Moves, covered 5 of their last 7 games.
5 of the last 7. By the way, you should note Chris Olave is going to play. He is active, so that was a big one for New Orleans as well.
Last 60 seconds, anything else, spread or total, we should be aware of on the way out here?
The house's biggest need is all going to be on the Cardinals today. Okay. We saw a good amount of Bengals money. We had a couple of syndicates come in and just pound the Bengals. Interestingly, we moved the Bengals on some rather large action this morning, and we did get Cardinals buyback, so I was intrigued by that. Because we were at 7.5 and we were at 7.5 juice. We came back down to a 7 right now. So I just tell you, Circus Sports needs the Cardinals today.
Awesome. Okay, we got to step aside here real quickly. Thank you to Derek for giving us the lowdown from behind the counter. We're just getting started, though. Keep with us in 15 minutes. Warren Sharp is going to join us to give us his best bets for the day. Lots of great prop angles on the slate. And we've got plenty of actives, inactives, more line moves you need to know. Whether we'll hit it all on Countdown to Kickoff. Rolling along here on VSIN.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, they're turning it all the way up. Ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st, all night long. You get 6 live concerts on 3 stages, Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, Chingy, plus a massive Countdown and Light Spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. 1 ticket, 1 night, just $60. And the party starts at 7. Grab your tickets now at VegasExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or any gate location on New Year's Eve as we welcome you back here to Countdown to Kickoff. You know, our guy Derek Stevens, who joined us in the first segment, he will be out there for sure come New Year's Eve night. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And I was really surprised to hear, especially even as we went into the commercial break with Derek, how much they're going to need Arizona today with the way that people were laying that number with Cincinnati.
Yeah, I guess it's not like insanely surprising, but actually the way that he described it, I'd be with you. The Cardinals do have a couple of guys that are not playing here today, especially on defense. So that is going to probably reign over this game, specifically Buda Baker and others. But for Cincinnati, I mean, I don't know, man, a beat down to the Miami Dolphins and Quinn Ewers, and all of a sudden we're going to spike this thing up to the point where we believe they're this much better than the Arizona Cardinals. I would agree with that. And this is the time of year, too. We talked about this on Friday's show with our market power ratings. This is the time of year where the market, I think, tends to overreact to some of these bad teams. It's almost like at the end of baseball season where you get these really good teams that get to like minus 380, minus 420 on those money lines in an individual game. Like, folks, we're still playing baseball at the end of the day. Those can get pretty random. And it's the same thing here. You're still talking about a Bengals team that is one of the worst defensive groups in the National Football League, asking them to win by margin. And I think the same thing, as we'll talk about a little bit later, the overreaction of what the Raiders are doing as well. I think this is kind of the time, as much as it sucks to say, it's time to kind of buy in on some of these bad teams, I think. And by the way, little point of evidence, you mentioned it. First 5 games, what do the underdogs do?
5-0 ATS.
Correct.
Yep, dogs have been barking, that is for sure.
So I think it just kind of points to the fact that we tend to overreact to some of these teams that are underdogs at this time of year.
Also, because you mentioned the defensive injuries for Arizona and just how bad the Bengals defense is, in general. We've seen this total go up from earlier this week in the 50.5 range up to as high as 53.5 right now. A couple injuries to update you on. There were questions about Marvin Harrison Jr. for Arizona today. He will play. The snaps are going to be managed, though, up front. Offensive tackle Paris Johnson, he's been placed on season-ending injured reserve. Their left guard, Evan Brown, is out. Lots of O-line issues for this team. So just keep that in mind as you go in this one. One thing, and I know we're going to give out our best bets at the end of the day, I can guarantee you is that a lot of people have been playing Trey McBride props in this game because Everybody knows at this point in the season, if you have been following the NFL, there is no team that is worse defending the tight end than the Cincinnati Bengals.
But it's surely it's not baking to the market though, right?
Oh no, not at all. No, because this prop, by the way, for his receiving yards hasn't gone up from 72.5 to as high as some places as 81.5 yards. My goodness.
Sure. It's a reasonable price for an anytime touchdown for a team that's a 7-point dog as well.
And yet still, I do want to play that touchdown for the record. Just saying. I want to go back to your Indianapolis Colts, though, because I have to admit to you, I do not understand this line movement.
Sure. Happens all the time. I mean, look, I would say this.
I laid 4.5, and that's a bad number now with 3.5's out there, but look, I don't get it.
I mean, look, you see it. Like, the Chiefs games were obviously the best example for this season. How many weeks were we sitting here or sitting out there? I was, at least for the Texans game, that is always going to stick out to me, where you saw one-way traffic in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs this year. And we were, why is it moving in that way? I don't get it. And then sure enough, it was wrong. Not everything is built equally. So if you don't get it, I mean, you could be right. The market's not always perfect here. I would have kind of leaned in your direction. I mean, I kind of understand the early portions if you were buying in on when the number was like 6.5. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where maybe you're getting a little too far here for Indianapolis, especially DeForest Buckner not out there. Yep. Yes, Sauce Gardner is going to be available, but also their starting center will not play here today. So there's just a couple of aspects here for Indianapolis where it's not perfect for them at this point right now, although Jacksonville will not have their starting center either. So maybe that's worth the big move.
Not that big. Colts eliminated from the playoffs. They've dropped five straight, and six of their last seven, which included a 36-19 loss to this same Jacksonville Jaguars team. Their defense just let the 49ers drop 48 points on them. Trevor Lawrence is playing the best football probably of his career at this point. Looking at his numbers, the last four games, 14 total touchdowns, no picks, hasn't even had a turnover-worthy play in his last three. Just so much of this, to me, lends its way to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's how I feel about it. I understand you're still having Phillip Rivers out there. You're bringing Sauce Gardner back. There are things that would be encouraging, but not enough to me based on where the Jags are at and still have an opportunity for the number one seed in the in the conference right now.
And I would also reiterate for anybody who was just joining us who wasn't with us when we were talking to Derek a couple of minutes ago, Phillip Rivers has plenty to play for in this game. This weird thought that they're just going to bench him at halftime when he's 252 yards away from passing Ben Roethlisberger for sixth all time in passing yards. I'm going to assume that Shane Steichen, his good buddy, is not going to yank him here and go, nope, no shot. I'm going to assume that he's going to give him all four quarters to get a crack at getting at least 253 passing yards here today.
So you said to Derek, you want on the main screen today to be the Tennessee Titans and New Orleans Saints.
Come on now.
It's a
compelling game.
Well, it is. And for a Saints team that is winning games all of a sudden, playing much better with Tyler Shuck, we have seen the market adjust and say like, wow, okay, actually we probably should be backing this New Orleans Saints team a little bit. But I think it's also kind of forgetting that the Titans have played really well lately too.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, covered 5 out of the last 7 games heading into this contest. I mean, for sure, this is a teaser leg I put in earlier this week, but still think the Titans again, you're total of 39. This should be a strong teaser leg for you here. And Shuck has played well, but it's not like he's blowing opponents away at this point. I think that the Saints have become slightly overvalued. And what is a team that has been very undervalued since the start of this year? You and I were dunking on this staff at the beginning of the year because at one point they were the one of the most inefficient covering teams in the National Football League. But over the last 7 weeks, you're right, the most. But over the last 7 weeks, they've become just the opposite of that. And yet the betting market hasn't adjusted. And we have evidence that we do our market power ratings every single week. Titans haven't budged from the line that they've been on, which is the lowest in the NFL outside of this week where a couple of teams passed them at the bottom. I think that this is just another example of that. Tennessee's been an undervalued team all year long, and I don't think there's that much separating these two. And one has a rookie quarterback that's been playing extremely well. The other has Tyler Shuck. Seriously, Cam Ward has flown under the radar.
Wow, look at you.
I mean, one has a quarterback in Cam Ward who the last couple of games is slowly really starting to get it. So I think that it's been a little much in terms of the way that they're rating New Orleans
here. And no shade to Brian Callahan, but since he was let go, they have been better and been more feisty. One game we have yet to talk about here that's going to be in the early window is another big one, and actually same division as the New Orleans Saints, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facing the Miami Dolphins in this spot. And we've seen Tampa get bet out, they were as high as 6-point favorites, and it toggled back as low as 4.5. Now 5.5 seems to be the prevailing number in the market, except for here at Circa, we are at 4.5. So what do you think?
This is one that I don't really have a read on. I mean, I want to wash my hands of this, much like Pontius Pilate, and just let it go. I mean, what are you supposed to do here? I would say that the Buccaneers have proven to be a very fraudulent team that has been overvalued by the betting market. Your point of evidence there is the 5-10 ATS record that you see on your screen if you're watching on YouTube TV or VSiN.com or wherever you're watching right now. I think this team has just been, it's just been too high. And for Miami, we talked about it. Luckily, I did not reach out and think, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. But I did say, you know, I'm a little Miami curious against Cincinnati last week, and that did not go well. So this is a game that I think is easily just scratch it off and move on. But I will say this, Miami still has McDaniel's rushing attack. They can still run the ball very well, and I think that's going to be something you could potentially see here. I think you could still get this Buccaneers team on the ground, and that's going to be something that could allow Miami to stay inside of this number.
The New England Patriots laying double digits out to 13.5 in New York, taking on the Jets today. We did see the news. Travion Henderson cleared the concussion protocol. He will play. Meanwhile, Mac Hollins on injured reserve. But third-string quarterback with the Jets, it's an uphill battle for that group. But we talk about dogs barking, and big numbers in the NFL are never easy.
No, it's not, especially when you look at the inactives for this team, too. Yeah. Harold Landry is not going to play. Robert Spillane's not going to play. There's a lot of guys who are not going to be available here for the New England Patriots. In totality, I believe we're down about 5 starters. And yet here we are, 13 with a total of 42. The Patriots just need to grab a win and get out. I don't know. They've got a lot of dudes that aren't playing here today to trust that they're just going to be able to come in and roll over New York. Seems like a big ask for a number like that on the road against the Jets, especially with all the absences.
We have a couple games in the afternoon, and of course, one of them we already discussed in the battle for the number one overall pick with the Giants and Raiders, but another sneaky big game, the Eagles and Bills, a 3-point full field goal spread in favor of Buffalo. Josh Allen, I know there are questions about the foot, but he is expected to be just fine. No, nothing holding him back today.
Very interesting game. Excited to watch it. Philadelphia, the motivation, what they want to do here in this game. If there was just nothing, if this was a Super Bowl, for example, man, I would grab Philly +3 every day of the week. But I think right now, I think we're probably pushing this in Buffalo's direction, given the motivation that they have to continue to keep this going with New England just ahead of them in the division.
Worth noting on the Eagles side of this, Lane Johnson and Nakobe Dean both out in this one. They were planning to bring Johnson back, but now with the luxury of having the division, all that's really up to play for them now is, are they going to be the 2 seed or are they going to be the 3 seed at this point? But expected to be back when the games do really matter. Again, 3-point spread in that one. Buffalo favored, total 44.5. We got to step aside. Warren Sharp going to join us next on the Progressive Guest Line. Get his best bets, favorite props of the slate coming up.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, the countdown continues as we welcome you here to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you 30 minutes out from kickoff of the early slate of the Week 17 Sunday action. And to help us dive into the prop market a little bit, very excited to have our guy Warren Sharp join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Can follow him, of course, at Sharp Football on X, sharpfootballanalysis.com. If you haven't checked out the Sharp Football Show podcast yet, make sure you do it. Lots to dive into here, Warren, but you know I always got to kick things off with the play. Play of the day, and today's, I hear, comes from Seahawks Panthers. What do you got?
I've got the over in Kenneth Gainwell's longest rushing attempt. As you said, the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Carolina Panthers, and this Carolina Panthers defense has been hemorrhaging larger explosive gains to running backs. They've given up in their last 8 games. A running back has recorded, at least one running back, a run of 15 plus yards. That's what we need here. Longest run over 14.5 yards. And Kenneth Gainwell has been doing a good job himself. He's gone over this number in five of the last seven games. But think about this aspect. You've got the Seattle Seahawks with Sam Darnold going on the road, playing outdoors, away from home. This is not a Sam Darnold throw 35, 40 times a game here if you can avoid it. This is a run the football as much as possible to keep Sam Darnold from losing a very important game for the number one overall seed in the NFC. You want to try to earn a first round bye if possible. Let's just run the football as much as we can. As long as we're in this game, they are favored here. Over 14 and a half longest rush for our running back here, Kenneth Walker.
All right, let's talk a little Philly and Buffalo. It's kind of lost, at least in terms of the narrative, because of what Philly doesn't really have at stake. But what do we make of this game and what's going to happen here from a player prop standpoint?
Well, so you got the Buffalo Bills. The money has moved strongly onto this game. A lot of money has come in on game day, driving this line all the way up to the Buffalo Bills, laying 3 points. There's not insignificant volumes of money that was required to do that. I think Josh Allen is not going to be required to pass the football quite as much in this game. And so I'm betting Josh Allen passing yards under in the very high 190s. I got a 201, but I think it's like 198, 197, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think he goes under this number. First and foremost, there's a variety of ways that this could go. Number one is they are having success. The Philadelphia Eagles aren't playing for as much, and the Buffalo Bills are able to run the football and lean into the run. Josh Allen's gone under this number 3 out of the last 4 games anyways, regardless of what has been at stake. Number two, the weather. They're calling for a lot of rain in this game, some torrential downpour potential in the Buffalo area. Not sure if we're going to see the torrential downpour during the 3 hours that this game is going to last, but we're going to see some rain off and on regardless, so that could potentially drive it down. Number three, you've got the injury to his foot. We're not going to see Josh Allen potentially want to drop back and try to avoid the pass rush as much. It's far easier to nurse an injured foot if you can just hand the football off to James Cook and the other running backs. And last but not least, you have the matchup, which could be the most important part of this all. You're going up against the Philadelphia Eagles pass defense. The Buffalo Bills love to do two things: throw the football to their slot receiver and throw the football to their tight ends. Slot receiver is Khalil Shakir. He is going up against the number two best defense against slot receivers in the Philadelphia Eagles. The tight ends are going up against the number one pass defense against tight ends in the Philadelphia Eagles, who are allowing only 4.8 yards per pass attempt to tight ends. So put all of those things together. I just don't know whether by choice or by force the Buffalo Bills are going to need Josh Allen to throw the football a lot here. Granted, the fact that he's nursing the injury, I think we could see the under in Josh Allen's passing yards.
And speaking to the tight ends as well, we're still waiting because this game is in the afternoon on the actives and inactives for them. But Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, both with knee injuries, both didn't practice until Logan Unlimited on Friday. So TBD on what that's going to look like for them. One follow-up on this game as well. With the Buffalo Bills' run defense issues, could this be a decent Saquon day potentially?
I think it could be a decent Saquon day, but here's another wrinkle I got for you guys. Just, this is a gem. Just throw a little bit of pizza money on it. What if this game is a little bit meaningless and the Buffalo Bills are taking a lead and you got the opportunity to run a little bit of Tank Bigsby, whose rushing yards, I'm staring at it dead in the eye right now. I'm seeing between 8.5 and 10.5 rushing yards. You know what that stands for? That stands for a nice ladder potential. So not only could Saquon Barkley have a decent day on the ground, but if you do get into a game state where this game is either out of hand or the Eagles don't necessarily need it, Tank Bigsby working in there against this horrible run defense might take one run to get you 9-10 yards on the ground, let alone if he can get 3-4 carries. He could be hitting some of those ladders at 20-plus, 25-plus, et cetera.
All right, let's go to Arizona and Cincinnati. Total 52.5. Bengals land 7. What do we got here?
I like Chase Brown and his total yards, rush plus receiving yards, over in the low 80s. Chase Brown is going to have some success. He has totaled 90 plus yards in 8 of his last 9 games. He's totaled 100 plus yards in 7 of his last 9 games. Now he's going up against an Arizona Cardinals defense that is allowing 5.2 yards per carry over their last 6 games. That's second worst in the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals are favored in this game, playing from a position of power. And then you look at the other side of this ball, which is the defense of the Arizona Cardinals. what is their motivation, incentivization? They've lost guys every single week, key starters along the defensive line or in the secondary and the linebacking core that are not going to be playing, aka tackling Chase Brown in this game. You think the backup players, the third stringers in the 55th minute of this game are going to be putting in extra effort to tackle Chase Brown here in a 60-minute game out in the cold and wind of Cincinnati for a dome team from Arizona? I'm not so sure that's going to happen. So I think Chase Brown is going to have some success here on the ground and repeat what he's done in seven of the last eight games, and that's go for 90-plus total yards.
NFL analyst Warren Sharp joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, and a sneaky good game on the card today that I don't think a lot of people probably had on their bingo card. It's Titans Saints coming up. JVT's favorite game of the day, actually, and I'm not kidding. And there was an angle from a prop perspective that caught your eye here. What were you looking at?
Well, he's one sick individual, but that we love that. It's you're going to get a lot of gross games at this time of the year. This certainly being one of them. And a prop angle I'm looking at, I was just mentioning Chase Brown, how he's hit this mark in seven of the last eight games. How about Tajay Spears hitting this prop mark in nine of the last 10 games? And that's his receiving yards over. It was like between 15 and a half and 17 and a half. And this guy's gone for 18 plus in nine of the last 10 games. They're going to be going up against this New Orleans Saints defense that's a little bit better against the run. Not as great against the past two running backs. And there's some opportunities here. A lot of times, if you look at his longest, I mean, his longest last week was a 34-yard reception. 2 weeks ago, it was a 24-yard reception. We're talking about one reception, and you're going well over this total number. So I do think there's a little bit of ladder potential here as well for Tajay Spears at this low receiving yard number. Just make life a little bit easier on Cam Ward, especially if they're not trailing massively in this game. You can run the ball with Tony Pollard a little bit and just throw the ball underneath, keep Cam Ward upright, and let Tajay Spears do some yards after the catch type work for JVT as he's sitting back watching his eyes bleed from watching this gross game.
Yep. Well, I'm a professional. We'll be on the air, so I'll keep it together, but I think we'll make it through. I was going to ask you mustache grooming tips, but I guess we have to get to some of these illnesses that are popping up for the Chicago Bears and what it means for them as they head into Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, the mustache is coming in really nicely. I don't think you need any of my help anymore.
I set
the lad off to college, and he's well on his way to making a great living here. But there are receivers, as you mentioned, dropping like flies, literally from the sicknesses going around the Chicago Bears locker room. And as a result, Luther Burden is available. And I'm seeing this odds right now, 51.5, literally, as we're talking about it here. A couple of minutes ago, it was 48.5. I do think that there's upside potential here, especially because the Bears are playing as underdogs. Now, I do think this game's going to be close. This game's going to be an entertaining game. George Kittle is not going to be there for the San Francisco 49ers, but they still have plenty of firepower to put up some points on the board and force the Chicago Bears to, though they want to run the football a lot, to also work in some of the passing attack. And I think Luther Burden is going to be one of the critical aspects of that, given the fact that the 49ers have weaknesses defending wide receiver targets, and there's not many other options at play for the Chicago Bears, given those sicknesses.
Warren, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Good luck, guys.
Back at you. And Warren, by the way, has a great deal for our VSiN listeners going on right now this week. You can get all of his week 17 props, just $19.99. Go to sharp.football, click the top link, claim the offer today. And with that in mind, so we already know Roma Dunze is out still with the foot injury, but the Bears also added DJ Moore and Olamide Zaccheaus to their injury report with an illness, questionable for tonight's game against the 49ers. That is among a handful of players, though, that are on the list.
So I got a couple of notes here, both related to the Indianapolis Colts, as it was sparked in my mind. I apologize if you mentioned this in I'm just not remembering it, but this happened last week with your 49ers, remember? Market got steamed all in Indianapolis's direction. Never came close to covering that number for the most part outside of the first half where they were plucky. The other is this weird speculative thing that they're going to bench Phillip Rivers at halftime. I have something that I feel like will tell you they won't. 90-plus members of Phillip Rivers' high school team came out to the Colts game today to support him, according to Stacey Dales. I don't think they're sitting him at halftime.
That is great perspective. Okay, we got to step aside. We will hit on that as well as our best bets for the Week 17 slate when we come back here on VSiN's Countdown to Kickoff. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us.
is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129 or more. Get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% off site-wide on steaks and so much more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Again, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details as we are rolling along here. Got to get your tailgate strong this football season. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Did want to mention, because Warren Sharp brought up some weather implications that could be at play in the Cardinals and Bengals game. A couple games, actually, with some weather implications, JVT as well. Steelers-Browns, unseasonably warm in Cleveland right now, should be above 50 throughout the game, but the National Weather Service has issued a high wind warning in the area, so expected to have rain around 2 p.m. Eastern, so rain and wind. Doesn't set up great for the passing game in some instances. Doesn't set up great for kickers, potentially. So we're something to keep an eye on there. And then later on this afternoon, Eagles-Bills as well. Cold and rainy game. Temps in the 30s, should warm up a bit, but the rain not really expected to let up. Sustained winds only in the 7 to 10 mile an hour range, but gusts expected above 20.
You know, it's funny, because I'm looking. I've been told this before by some odds makers, but they call, you know, the in some of these books, especially during wintertime, you'll see that with the games on, all the pregames on the screens, they'll show like the snow game. And all of a sudden you'll see people start to kind of like head to the counter because it's like, oh, snow, let's bet this game under. And as you're talking about this, that game goes from, for Pittsburgh, Cleveland, 35.5 down to 35. Some spots are down to 34.5. And I will just say, how many times have you and I sat here during this long football season, where we have the lowest total on the board? How can this go over? Well, I think it was a Cleveland Browns game that I'm not remembering that was I said, tease it up to 40. How in the world is it going to get over? And sure enough, like, it went shooting over in that game. It is not obviously guaranteed. And sometimes, again, I've said it a lot today. Market does overreact to certain aspects. And I think a lot of the times what we know is factored into these numbers. And more often than not, maybe it behooves you to go the other way. So we'll see if it gets to 34.5 across the board. But 35 is starting to appear with some consistency on the screen.
The Steelers, 3.5-point favorite. There are some fours out there in the market as well. So if you want to lay it, get the better number. If you want to take it, get the better number, depending on what that is. And we'll talk about, throughout the course of Live Bet Sunday, when we shift gears to that show coming up next, the implications down the line in the division between the Steelers and Ravens. But for this game in particular, DK Metcalf, well, he's going to be out both games, certainly out today. Still no TJ Watt for the Steelers defense as well. Calvin Austin also out with a hamstring for the Steelers, which I don't know if that's getting talked about enough. So Rodgers is going to have to lean on Adam Thielen, Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Like, the options are pretty limited for this group, too.
And the back end of that defensive backfield also is a little dinged up, too. So it's not, you know, it's funny. You mentioned this situation, and it kind of made me roll my eyes a little bit. We saw the result yesterday, and then just a coincidence that the Steelers then kind of move up to 4.5. You know, well, I'll say this so much during the week. It's actually a good thing you're going to be gone for most of the week. Just because you have to doesn't mean you're going to.
Yeah.
And we see that every week around this time of year. For whatever reason, motivation and a need to win is worth like a point, point and a half, maybe even more in some of these matchups. And it's just something that is, I think, a little overfactored into the market around this time of year. So this week and next week, a lot of dirty dogs. Yep. I'll tell you that much.
Win and the division is yours for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If not, all the marbles next week in Pittsburgh as they host the Baltimore Ravens. Also on the Brown side, David Njoku still out. Harold Fannin injured his groin on Friday, was questionable, but will be full go today. And Myles Garrett trying to break the sack record in this one. He's a half sack away from tying, a full sack away from getting it done.
I have a little bit of Panthers trivia for you.
Ooh.
Bryce Young is one of two quarterbacks that has had more than five consecutive starts at any point over the last 5 years. Do you know who the other one is?
What do you mean, more than five consecutive starts?
Yes. Two Panthers quarterbacks over the last 5 years have had, any point in the season, five consecutive starts. Bryce Young and one other quarterback. No, Darnold? It is not Andy Dalton.
Elling Dalton, excuse me?
You did say it, though.
Sam Darnold. Wow. Would you look at that? Would you just look at it? He had a great start to his Panthers career. I remember the first like 3 weeks that he was the star. He was like rushing touchdowns all over the place. He was awesome.
Oddly enough, I don't know why I remember this, but that week, because we were doing like a column, it was like a box score deep dive every week in Points Spread Weekly. And I remember after they started 3-0, writing this big thing about how fake that 3-0 start was, and they're about to get creamed. Yeah. And then they got creamed.
And inevitably they did.
By the way, I was texting Mitch because him and Paul were talking about this today, about, hey, what is Sunday Night Football next week, depending on what it is? Folks, it's going to be easy. We're going to get for a second consecutive year Sam Darnold starting on Sunday Night Football, Week 18, with a one seed in the NFC on the line.
How's it going
to
go?
I know. But, I mean, credit to him, man. Two straight years, two different teams, and hey, he is in contention for a one seed.
Yep. All the interceptions hasn't held him back. He's still in position for a one seed yet again. Here we go. Let's get to our best bets of the day. And good reminder, too, outboundvsin.com. We have all of our best bets, all the show hosts, guests, each and every day. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get unlimited access to all of it. And right now, if you want to start the new year off as a better, we have a special holiday special that is rolling on right now. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price. So make sure you dive in there. You get VSiN Pro access to everything we do, just $79. That includes not only the daily best bets, but the bet splits, the AI prop tools, 24/7 video, all of that awesome stuff. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can get in there. But let's start with you, JVT. No, we both have a couple teasers, a couple plays. Where are you going?
Yep. So these are the ones that we sent in earlier, added some throughout the course of the show. But for right now, Titans +2.5. And then as we talked about on Money Moves, a 6-point teaser, Texans +8, and then Titans +8.5. Did add one more teaser, followed your line of thinking. I like it a lot. Tease the Titans up again and tease down the Rams for Monday Night Football. And told you it's dirty dog time, folks. Took three with the Las Vegas Raiders.
You did? Oh, okay. So we had the conversation all week long on Money Moves. JVT has never been to an NFL game today, a game in his life, and he was contemplating today making it be the first, going out to Allegiant Stadium.
By himself
to watch Raiders Giants. And I asked him during the week, I was like, okay, if you're going to the game, you have to at least have a bet, and you didn't have one yet. As it has gotten played out, though, to the New York Giants. You're playing the dog here, but you're not going to the game.
No, I mean, there was an incident with a Pokemon card that we can't really get into the details of. But no, I mean, look, again, I understand the big names. People are going to gravitate toward Brock Bowers is on IR. Okay. Max Crosby's on IR. The Giants added six dudes themselves. So it's not like the Giants are coming in here just, hey, roster is just rife with health and starters. No, they're doing the same thing. And so for this to get to three, I would heartily disagree with that. So give me three with the Las Vegas Raiders. This is going to be the strategy for me over the course of the next 10 days or so, or excuse me, 7 days. So just playing against some of these overreactions in the market based on a lot of different news. And I think that this is one of them. So as much as I hate it, let's go Raiders. The autumn wind is a Raider.
For me, you said it. Yes, I am on that same 6-point teaser. Titans bringing them up to 8. Rams -1.5 on Monday night. I mean, they're not going to lose another game in the NFC South, right?
One would think.
God help us. But for this Titans team, I think it's just a group that, for as improved as the New Orleans Saints have been with Tyler Shuck, that the Tennessee Titans have been very improved as well. They've been covering a lot of games. They've even been winning 1-2 of their last 3 straight up. And so I think this should be a competitive, fun game, one in which the Titans could have some potential advantages here. So bringing them up to over a touchdown, I really liked that angle. I don't have the best number on the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I did lay 4.5 against the Colts. I don't get it. I do not get this line movement. The Jags are still in play for the one seed in the AFC. They have a lot to play for here. They're extremely motivated, and they've been playing awesome down the stretch. And oh, by the way, if you remember, 36-19, they beat this team just a couple weeks ago. Trevor Lawrence has been playing some of his best football. This is also a defense that played really well against Jonathan Taylor in the first meeting, a run defense that is not getting talked about nearly enough, in my opinion, despite being number one in the NFL in rush yards allowed against per game. And then Trey McBride, I did do it. Yeah. Anytime touchdown for him. I know it's a gross price at +115, but at least it's still plus money. He, of the 9 tight ends this year that have caught at least 5 passes against the Bengals, 6 have gone over 90 yards, 6 have scored touchdowns, and Trey McBride has been a monster this season, whether it's yards, whether it's receptions, even the touchdown numbers. Remember, remember all the talk where, like, he could not get in the end zone to save his life. This year, that has not been the case. 70 plus yards in 7 of the last 10 games. In 3 games against defenses who rank in the bottom 8 in yards allowed, he's had 7 for 52, 8 for 72, 9 for 127, 9 for 79. If you want to do all the props against for Trey McBride against this Bengals defense, I wouldn't blame you, but I just went easy and kept it with the anytime touchdown.
I was listening to you, but I was just trying to see if there's been any news or anything like that. I might have to add one more here. There has been some buyback immediately. This total got down to 34 while you were talking for Pittsburgh-Cleveland. So it dropped a full point from our last update. It got bought back up to 34.5, but this is getting a little...
I might join you with that.
That's pretty low.
You know what that kind of screams, though? Kind of screams SVT.
Teaser? A little teaser? You're going to tease up the Cleveland Browns and then go over the total?
Okay, we got to step aside.
You get a 28.5?
When we come back, we're kicking off Live Bet Sunday. Running the board with last second thoughts and bets on every game. JVT and I will be with you for the next 3 hours updating live lines, halftimes, injuries. We'll preview the afternoon stuff. All of that coming at you on VSiN.